all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio. This is Veterans Radio.
Good day. I'm Jim Fossone. I'm the officer of the deck today here on Veterans Radio, and thanks for joining us. We've got some interesting stories for you. We always want to remind you, you can find more about Veterans Radio at its Facebook site or at the web, veteransradio.org, where we're on the web 24/7. You can find a lot of our podcasts there as well. We post new ones every Tuesday, so you can get a new story, a new interview, something you didn't know before by going to veteransradio.org. And before we get started, we want to thank our sponsors. First up, we want to thank National Veteran Business Development Council, NVBDC.org. It was established to certify both service-disabled and veteran-owned businesses. You'll find out how they can help your business by going to NVBDC.org. We want to thank Legal Help for Veterans. Legal Help for Veterans fights for veterans' disability rights all across the nation. You can reach them at 800-693-4800 or on the web at legalhelpforveterans.com. And finally, PuroClean. PuroClean is the paramedics of property damage. It provides water damage remediation, flood water removal, fire and smoke damage remediation, mold removal, biohazard cleanup. It also has a focus on veteran franchisees. You can learn more about them by going to puroclean.com. Welcome. I am Jim Fossone, and this is Veterans Radio's Spotlight on National Veteran Business Development Council, better known as NVBDC.org. Veterans Radio has a partnership with NVBDC. It is the nation's leading third-party authority for certification of veteran-owned businesses of all size. It's a 501c3 nonprofit established in 2013, so now a decade of certifying veteran-owned businesses to assist commercial and government buyers to make sure that they're actually working with legitimate veteran-owned businesses. It's a rigorous certification process designed to withstand the scrutiny of governmental and corporate entities seeking to utilize certified VOBs. And we're really pleased to have today on Veterans Radio, Bill Elmore. I'm going to give you more about Bill in a minute, but Bill, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Well, thank you, Jim. I appreciate the opportunity.
So Bill is sort of the godfather of veteran-owned businesses, and he has been supporting veteran-owned businesses for his entire professional career. But let me back up a little bit to put some context around that. It starts as a simple kid who joins the United States Air Force and spends a little time in Texas, Illinois, Oklahoma. You go on after discharge to work at a couple of veteran-centric places, including the VA National Personnel Records Center in St. Louis. Many of us know that from the so-called Great Fire destroying records. You went on into further work to as the executive director for the St. Louis Area Veteran Service Centers. You took some of that experience and said, hey, I'm going to help people retrieve their records from NPRC. And then found your way into the U.S. Small Business Association, or Administration, I should say, SBA. And that's kind of where this story really starts. How did you get so interested in veteran-owned businesses?
Well, that's a good question. The start was by accident. I broke my leg playing rugby.
Wait a minute. That's the first time I've ever had an interview start there. Okay, you broke your leg playing rugby, and somehow that got you into it.
Exactly, and so it was literally that sort of an accident. And the reason that I won't say the reason the accident occurred, that was on me. But what happened was I was going to school full-time on the inadequate GI Bill of the day back in 1973, and I was was working full time. I had just started working at a hospital in the St. Louis area because I was in training to become a respiratory therapy technician. The last thing I ever intended to be was a veteran. It just happened. So anyway, when I broke my leg, I had to quit my job at the hospital. And suddenly I went from full-time job to no job. And then a friend of mine that I played rugby with, another veteran, mentioned VA work study. And I said, I don't have a clue what the heck that is, but I need the income. So I went to the veterans office at the community college I was attending, and I asked the gal who ran the office, a wonderful lady named Doris Lotta, and Doris said, I don't have any work study slots on campus, but there's this group of guys doing something out at this old American Legion post, and it was in a metro, it was in the St. Louis metropolitan area just east of where I was living. So I said, sure, send me out there. And I went out to what was then the very startup of a free self-help one-stop veteran service center in St. Louis that we opened in a Legion post. So for the first 4 years in that not-for-profit, it became a not-for-profit. We probably had maybe 600 veterans walk in the door, and whatever they asked us to help them with, we helped them. And that led ultimately to ending up creating the first proposal as a work project in my college education about how do we take this basic concept of a self-help center for veterans and turn it into a full-time deal here in St. Louis. We did that. And about 2 years later, our annual budget approached $400,000 a year, and we had somewhere north of 1,000 veterans a year walking through the door. So that went on for almost 20 years, and I ended up running the entire shop. But what was happening was about maybe one out of every 20 veterans that walked in the door was asking about self-employment or small business or creating their own shop. So I started contacting the SBA district office in St. Louis, which in those days had 40 to 50 employees, and I started building relations with people there. And anytime a veteran had any significant question about entrepreneurship, I basically hand-carried them over to the SBA, and we began to engage in a lot of different kinds of stuff. Now, this is the very short version. To sort of leap ahead, ultimately, I ended up creating, back in the 1980s, what was called the Veterans Entrepreneurship Training Program here in St. Louis, and in two-plus years, we trained almost 200 veterans and their spouses and their survivors, if they were widows, in entrepreneurship, and the program was incredibly successful. And the other thing it did for me was it exposed me to a whole community of already successful, mostly Vietnam veterans, that were in the business world in St. Louis, who in those days knew each other professionally, but none of them knew each other as veterans.
Yeah, I want to let me jump in here, because this is, veteran radio listeners, this is the start of what we see now 45 years later, where there are entrepreneurial boot camps and universities have specific programs to help veterans get into business, and government programs exist at the state, local, and federal levels. But in the 80s, in the late 70s and the early 80s, none of this existed, and even the concept of what a certified veteran-owned business didn't really exist, did it, Bill Elmore?
No, it did not exist, and I'll give you just a touch of history. The original 1944 GI Bill included small business lending for veterans. In December 1974, Congress deauthorized small business lending to veterans in the GI Bill. So for 30 years, we had a lot of help coming out of the federal sector for veteran entrepreneurs. In 74, when our generation came home and was coming home still, virtually all the assistance that had been delivered to previous generations of veterans disappeared. So about the same time we were starting our Veteran Service Center, boom, what was available from VA at the time up till December 1974 just went away. So it really was up to us. And then sort of to finish the story about the vet program that we put together in St. Louis in the 80s, that happened, and it so motivated me that by 1995, when I had run the not-for-profit for 20 years and I had run my small business as a sideline very early in the morning, I had had all I could take of managing the not-for-profit. So I said, I'm going to move to my business full-time. That was in 1995, my military records business, helping veterans get their records. So anyway, when I did that, I said to myself, I am so enamored with this entrepreneurship stuff. The one thing I'm going to volunteer my time as an advocate around is going to be veteran small business ownership. And if you move a little earlier than that, we actually had legislation introduced in Congress in 1990, 1991, and 1992. But all three of those efforts were blocked by people who didn't want veterans at the table. And I won't get into detail because I'm not trying to cast aspersions, but there were significant powers at the congressional level and in the rest of the small business community that didn't want veterans fully at the table. So anyway, 97 comes along, and I had gotten to know Congressman Jim Talent from Missouri, not because of my veterans work, but because a dioxin incinerator was located in his district. And I knew the story of dioxin because of my not-for-profit work with the Veterans Service Center and the whole Agent Orange fiasco, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So after about 4.5 years of volunteer work with Congressman Jim Talent and his staff in his district, he asked one day in a meeting, does anybody want to talk about something other than the incinerator? And I said, Jim, I'd love to talk to you about how veterans are left out at the SBA. Boom. So that was the start of it. And then by 1999, we had two different public laws passed. I ended up drafting much of those public laws as a volunteer. And I never intended to go to D.C. But once the 1999 statute passed, which created the first Service Disabled Veterans Procurement Goal Program and the Veterans Procurement Goal Program, by 1999, the community was telling me, Bill, we need you to go after the job. I said, what? They said, we need you to go after the job. So I did. I talked to my family. I talked to my wife. I was in my early 50s. I was, you know, at that point at the height of my abilities. I knew this community and I knew the background better than virtually anybody alive. I still do. And I went after the job, and 71 other people went after the job, and lo and behold, the SBA hired me.
Well, it's because of all that experience, right? What you're bringing to the table. But and this has been sort of a ping pong thing between VA and SBA and back to the SBA. Why is veteran owned businesses, why was it seen as such a redheaded stepchild inside the government like that?
Well, I think there was little focus. The only program other than the OSDBU that the VA had at the time was the Vocational Rehabilitation and Employment Services Program, and they actually had authority to help train disabled veterans in entrepreneurship. But when you looked at the data, and I did, they're better than 100,000 veterans each year were eligible for help from the VA Voc Rehab Program. And the number of veterans that receive small business assistance in VA Voc Rehab numbered about 25. So you had this huge disconnect between what the VA Voc Rehab folks on paper could do and what in fact they were doing. So when Jim Talent, who was then the chairman of the House Small Business Committee, asked that question, I saw my opportunity not to try to fix the VA, but to try to fix the SBA, because SBA was small business. The VA was veterans. What we were talking about was entrepreneurship for veterans, not veterans for entrepreneurship. So it made, to me, a heck of a lot more sense. Plus, at the same time, the chairman of the Senate Small Business Committee at the time was Senator Bond from Missouri. And I knew Senator Bond from back in his time when he was governor, and so did Jim Talent, because Jim had served in the Missouri House when Bond was governor of Missouri. So Jim already had a very strong and insightful working relationship with Senator Bond from the same state. So I remember telling a friend of mine walking next to the Library of Congress on a voluntary visit to D.C., I said, the moons have aligned. You know, suddenly everything is available to us that we've been working on for 25 years to finally get this done. And by the time we got the law passed in 99, there was probably 200 people involved. I do not take credit for all of this. I initiated it. It's very clear. I know that better than anybody. But the community stepped up and filled the gap and helped bring the pressure and bring their expertise and bring their insights into what should we do if we could engage at that point the Small Business Administration into some serious effort and programs and policies to support veterans. Because the point I kept making to the Hill, and I did this in testimonies, and that is, Congress, you're giving veterans preference to everybody at SBA but veterans. And arguably, I could make a presentation that says the reason you're not providing veterans preference to veterans is because they are veterans. There's no other visible reason. And as an aside to that, the most diverse community of citizens in America are our veterans.
Absolutely. We're talking to Bill Elmore, who's sort of the godfather of veteran-owned businesses. He's spent his professional career really advancing the recognition of veteran-owned businesses, set-asides for veteran-owned businesses. But, Bill, I pulled a quote out somewhere where you said, you know, veteran business owners certainly are worthy, but this is really a great investment. And that concept that you viewed this as a great investment, I wanted you to elaborate on.
Well, the reason I thought of that, after running the, over the 20 years I ran our veteran service centers, we had, you know, somewhere in the range of 15,000 veterans come through the door. And the longer I did that work, the more I began to see the double-sided sword of advocacy. What I saw was homelessness, veterans with disabilities being denied by VA, unemployed veterans, entrepreneurial veterans who had no resources that they could utilize to help them get their business going, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I saw a lot of the work that we have done through our Veteran Service Center. If you talked about it publicly, it tended to have a negative connotation. So what I was interested in was entrepreneurship, because the one best way for a veteran to make their way in America, I would argue, and I still believe this, is through self-employment. Veterans hire more veterans than anybody else. Everybody talks about how many veterans work in the federal government, and I get that. You know, it's somewhere in the range of 600,000, whatever the number is, despite what's going on in D.C. Self-employment amongst veterans is more than double that. Veterans create their own jobs. What we lack is access to resources, access to programs and policies that recognize our unique background and skills, and also recognize that veterans, when we get out of the service, come home and we are behind the curve. The people we went to school with, whether it was high school or college or whatever, have a 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10-year head start on us operating in America's private sector. So veterans are almost automatically disadvantaged initially when they come home because we've been disjoined from the mainstream American economic system in our military service that we proudly and gladly did.
Yeah, we talk about this on Veterans Radio a lot, that veteran, because we talk to so many veteran-owned businesses, veterans come out and they're behind the curve because they had a military network. They don't have a business network.
That's exactly right. In fact, they have a
checking account because their government pay goes in that, but they don't know how to do financing to cash flow a business. So yeah, your point's well taken. They start out behind the curve because of their time in service. It's just a fact.
Well, and there's a few other things that I would add to that. Not only do they have a checking account, they don't know the bankers. They don't have equity in homes. So the thing is, the secure financing, if you're going to go to a bank, one is generally you need to have some kind of a relationship, and there is no network of veteran bankers in America that I'm aware of, although I'm talking with my friends in the American Legion about how do we begin to build one. There's a lack of equity or collateral. In fact, one of the little pilot programs that I was able to get started before I couldn't stand being a federal employee any longer and left D.C. after 12 years, was a pilot program in the state of Maryland, and I don't know the outcomes, so don't ask me that. But the pilot program basically said to SBA lenders, let the veteran use their experience in the military as collateral.
An important point, because everybody can't figure out what that experience, how that translates to the civilian world. But one of the things I also saw you quoted as saying, and confirm for me if this is true, that about 15% of small businesses are owned by veterans. Is that about right?
Well, historically, it's been in that range. About 15% of Reserve and National Guard members are self-employed, are small business owners, or perhaps own a farm, that kind of thing. So it kind of depends on what technical definition you use of small business owners, but I tend to refer to it as self-employed or small business owners. About 80% of small businesses in America have no employee but the owner. About 20% of small businesses in America are referred to as employer small businesses, and they have other people who work for them. So 80% of veterans, approximately, it's actually closer to 81, I think, about 80% of veterans have nobody working in their business but themselves. And that was actually the case in my small business. I had four or five people I could call who would come work for me temporarily, other veterans, if I had a job big enough through the National Personnel Records Center that I needed that kind of help or some more manpower. It's always easy to find people that would come work for you temporarily if you've got an opportunity and you can pay them.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that first employee you get's the hardest one to get because you've gone from being just yourself, paying yourself, to having to be responsible for somebody else. So that's an amazing statistic. I want to go to this idea because so much has changed over the last 45 years or so that you've been at the forefront of. At one point, veteran business owners didn't even self-identify as veterans. They just were business owners. And then as it evolved over the time, people would raise their hand and say, well, I'm a veteran-owned business. They'd self-certify, if you will. And we went through that for a decade or more. How have you seen just even the business owner's mentality about identifying and then maybe even certifying, hey, I should get certified as a veteran-owned business, change? Because I think there has been a change.
Oh, there's absolutely been a change. I think what's happened, and this was the approach I took, because remember, I was not a bureaucrat by training. I was an advocate and an entrepreneur. So when I went to SBA, I said to myself, how do I engage SBA in veteran entrepreneurship? How do we find these men and women? How do we reach them? And how do we design programs and policies that actually can be helpful and supportive? So what I did was I knew how to do outreach because I had dealt with thousands of veterans, and I knew the basic issues that many of them presented to us in our not-for-profit years. So I began to engage in how do I bring veterans into touch with SBA programs, policies, and partners, which was really important. The thing to understand about SBA in those days, and I think it's likely still true today, when I worked at SBA, there were in the range of 2,100 employees in the entire agency across the entire country. 2,100. That was two-thirds the size of my high school. Now, what SBA does, though, and does incredibly well, is they have lots of third-party partners. So you had in those days in excess of 1,000 small business development centers. You had between 50 and 100 women's business centers. We had hundreds of SCORE chapters with thousands of veterans who were SCORE volunteers and mentors and guides and advisors. And then I began to create the Veterans Business Outreach Center program and a lot of the stuff that is now spilled across so many campuses and states and local governments. But when you go back and you look at the data, the Census Bureau used to do what was used to do every 5 years called the Survey of Business Ownership, where they would inventory and ask questions of millions of small business owners across America. Not hundreds, not thousands, but literally like 3 or 4 million would get questionnaires. And that's where that 15% number came from. When I started this work, there were in excess of 4 million veteran-owned small businesses in America, and they made up about 15% of the small businesses in America. Now we're somewhere in a range of 4 or 5%, and we're below 2 million. But the latest data that came out of GEM, which comes out of Babson College, which I think is in Massachusetts, don't hold me to that, where they are tracking that upwards of 50% of active service members and reserve and National Guard members are thinking about or may aspire to entrepreneurship post-service. The number of veterans themselves, and our numbers of veterans have greatly diminished, as you know, over these last couple of decades. The number of veterans themselves that are already self-employed, two-thirds of them when I was at SBA were over the age of 45. So that was my generation of veterans who, despite the lack of any support or assistance or engagement from government, went on to entrepreneurship anyway. Veterans are entrepreneurial. Historically, I would argue you can make a case that grants of land at the very creation of our nation really represented self-employment opportunity to veterans at the physical and economic frontiers of America. That's true still today.
Well, that's an interesting idea. There's a PhD thesis for somebody to pick up on and develop. We are talking to Bill Elmore. He was the founding associate administrator for the Veterans Business Development at the SBA and the creator of the SBA Office of Veterans Business Development, and has seen this movement grow and recently spoke at the NVBDC conference. Now, NVBDC, talking about how much this has grown, recently put out a report talking about the $1 billion roundtable and looking at veteran-owned, NVBDC-certified veteran-owned businesses. And the business roundtable reports something like $4.3 billion spend directed specifically to NVBDC certified businesses. I mean, this thing is massive when you look at it from that front, Bill. Why do you think something like NVBDC and veteran certification is important?
Well, it's important. Back to the, remember the point that you and I agreed on, and that's the arguably the most diverse community of American citizens are our veterans. That diversity does include, excuse my French, shitbums and charlatans. So having been in the business for better than 50 years, I know that there's a slice of the veterans world that I would not trust my family with. Now, that doesn't make us bad, because actually I think on average we're better than typical Americans when it comes to people, because the military service itself, and then being a veteran, is an honor-based system. And if you're not honorable in your engagement, either in your military service or post-service, if you get into the veterans community, if you act dishonorably, people are going to disown you and quit dealing with you. So, back to your question, what we need is we need a system that gives comfort to the billion-dollar round table and the rest of America's private sector to focus on, you don't need to worry about whether or not this guy is gaming you. You only need to worry about the fact that this man or woman is a veteran, served, accomplished their missions in the service, got out, caught up, and are now doing so well in their small business ownership that they can be an asset and a resource to you at Walmart or wherever it might be. They bring skills, they bring worldly experience, they bring the ability to engage with people of all backgrounds and shades and hues and histories, because that's what you do in the military. The mission becomes the mission, not your personal mission other than perhaps your survival and your support for your fellow service member. The mission is accomplished, the mission. And they bring that ethos to business ownership, and I think they bring an integrity and an honesty to business ownership generally that America desperately needs back in America's corporate model. And who better to re-inoculate the private sector than the men and women who have defended that very private sector through our military service? It's as simple as that.
Well, you got a chance to meet with the leadership of NVBDC, and I'm sure many members who were at the conference. I think you're right. One of the things getting certified through a rigorous program does is it lets the corporate buyer not even look at that. I don't have to sort out, I don't have to verify veteran ownership and operation of the business. That's been done. Now let's focus on your qualifications. Can you really do the job? Well, we certainly appreciate the time that Bill Elmore gave to us on Veterans Radio, really outlining the history of the veteran-owned business space, how it came about, where it might be going, and why it's so important. And we really appreciate his time. You can listen to these Veteran Radio podcasts on a number of platforms, all the major ones, such as the RSS.com feed, also iTunes, YouTube, Reese Across America Radio, and many others. So we encourage you to do that and appreciate all of your support. And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans, and you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows by visiting us at veteransradio.org. That's veteransradio.org. We again want to thank our national sponsors, the National Veterans Business Development Council, NVBDC.org, Legal Help for Veterans, a veterans disability law firm and with a national practice before the VA, can help you on your claims and your appeals. It can be reached at legalhelpforveterans.com or 1-800-693-4800. And PuroClean, a leader in property emergency services. It's the paramedics of property damage, providing water damage remediation, flood water removal, fire and smoke damage remediation, mold and biohazard cleanups. You can reach them at puroclean.com or 800-775-7876. We also want to thank our local sponsors. This would include the Charles S. Kettles chapter of the Vietnam Veterans of America, that's chapter 310, VFW Graf O'Hara Post 423, the American Legion, Irwin Preskin Post 46 in Ann Arbor as well, the VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System, and certainly the National Vietnam Veterans of America Association. You can be a sponsor by going to veteransradio.org, clicking on the About Us and our sponsors, and help us out. Keep this program alive for the 21 and 22 years. Keep us going for another 20. Thank you.